Hey, you want that to go?
And it's a full house here at the news takeout window here in the studio. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen here, our sports contributor.
Good morning.
Luis Story, finance reporter for the New York Times. We've got an all-employment news takeout segment this morning. We'll begin with you, Luis. This is about the most infuriating thing that I can imagine. There's a new trend spreading among employers using credit checks as a condition or a criteria for deciding whether to employ someone or not.
That's right. So, you know, surveys show that more than half of employers run a credit check on you before they hire you. Their argument is they want to know as much as possible as they can know. And for instance, some have found that if you've lived beyond your means, that's an indication that you're more likely than someone else to, for instance, commit fraud. So they're running
these. Or just have bad judgment.
So they're running these. Now, there's really what's new here is there's a push from 16 different states to make this illegal. This includes South Carolina and Oregon. It's already illegal in Hawaii and Washington. The issue is, you know, will you start a self-fulfilling cycle here? You know, someone has had some debt problems. Maybe they had medical bills for their children or something, and they're trying to get a job to help pay back their bills, but then they can't get a job because you find out they have, you know, had debt. And so they don't get a job, so their debt mounts, and it can be really self-fulfilling. And what's really important now is that we're in a period where more people than ever are facing debt problems, in particular because of our housing and mortgage problem. You know, I was talking with a young couple last week who's facing foreclosure, and it was interesting. I asked them, what do you want the government to do for you? The number one thing they said is, please, we hope they'll figure out some way to remove the taint from credit reports so that we, in a few years, when we get our finances together, can buy again. And so we're not judged, you know, that they're 30 years old, so we're not judged our whole life over this.
You know, the irony here is that banks didn't pay much attention to these credit reports when they were lending like crazy, you know, 5 years ago. But all of a sudden, now they're paying a lot of attention
and
hiring.
Credit is a lot tighter. That's right. Even the banks are paying more attention now.
It's amazing. But first of all, do employers have to disclose that they're doing this if
you're
applying for a job?
They must ask your permission. The problem is most job candidates don't feel comfortable saying no because they want the job, so they say okay. And think about it, if you're the employer and someone says no, then you might just assume that it's bad if they're saying no. So the fact that they can ask and they can do it puts a lot of employees in the position to just say yes, go ahead.
But you're most likely to have bad credit when you're unemployed. I mean, that's the silly
thing. That's the cycle. It's the self-fulfilling cycle with these credit reports and looking for jobs when you're
unemployed. People need not apply. That's horrible. That's the new America. Luis Story, a finance reporter for our partner, the New York Times. And Ibrahim?
Yeah, we're talking, as you said, John, we're talking about employment today and talk about the ultimate job application here, the NFL scouting combine. I understand it's formerly known as the National Invitational Camp. So, Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, what is the scouting combine?
It's essentially a job fair for the NFL. So if you want to get a job in the NFL, you want to be a running back, a wide receiver, a quarterback, a defensive end. If you want to play in the NFL, this is your chance and your opportunity to show that in terms of your speed, your quickness, your vertical jump, your broad jump, the basics of your agility, what your stock will be in the NFL draft that's coming up.
So this is different than the draft, or?
This is different than the draft. This is a pre-draft sort of data crunch. So you get to see, so the people that are deciding who's going to fit in the draft and which position they're going to go, then NFL coaches can say, this is where I want this guy, this is where I want that guy, based on all these statistics that come out of this combine.
Right, and they put them through both physical tests and mental tests. So
Correct. Give
me an example of the kind of test they have to do.
So, for example, you're going to do a vertical jump, a vertical jump, you know, to see how high you can jump, a broad jump, the bench press, and it's not like how much you can bench, it's how much you can bench the most amount of time. So,
Endurance,
exactly. Yeah. And it shows your durability. And then also the 40-yard dash. That's probably the biggest one. For example, C.J. Spiller, who's the top running back prospect right now, he comes out of Clemson, he ran a 4.37 in the 40-yard dash. I'm not sure how fast you guys can all run the 40.
I can't.
But that's
run
pretty,
it that.
That's pretty
that.
Fast.
And
yeah.
How much does he weigh?
He's 196 pounds, almost 200 pounds.
On the light side.
Yeah, so exactly.
But some of those 200
and just give you a sense also about the draft. Last year, there were two players that were sort of kind of not below the radar a little bit, and they bumped up their stock in the draft. For example, Mark Sanchez out of USC. He hadn't played a lot of games in college, so they didn't see a lot of them. But then in the draft, he said they he
in
showed
the combine,
in the combine, exactly. He proved that he was – you know, that he was NFL material, and also Sean Green, who became a running back for the Jets, who performed extremely well in the playoffs, in the combine, he improved his draft stock incredibly.
So who's doing well at the combine this year?
This year you have C.J. Spiller is the guy. He's the running back guy that everyone's talking about. Running backs and wide receivers are doing exceptionally well. Defensive ends are usually doing, and linebackers are usually do well because their positions translate well to the NFL. So, you know, a quarterback may or may not have what the skills or what it takes based on the system that they came from in college, but the running backs and the defensive players, their skill set really translates well, so they're doing pretty well.
Do agents love this? I mean, do agents say, go do this, or do agents want people to stay back and maybe conceal some of this stuff?
We were just talking about this. If you're a top prospect going into the combine,
right. You
probably want to go to the combine because there might be other people from conferences that may not have gotten as much TV exposure that are going to go and perform extremely well and might bump you out of your draft position.
So give me an example of a mental test. I read that they put them through these mental tests. What are they doing, grilling them on the rules?
Well, they're simple tests, and actually we were just talking about that. It seems a little sad that so many people don't do that well on the mental test, which proves that sometimes there's a social promotion that happens. They get pushed along in college and not really tested very hard. So the mental tests aren't very rigorous. They're just, I think it's just general aptitude and general understanding.
Okay.
Like, what's your favorite color? Stuff like that.
So yellow.
The one interesting thing about the draft this year is that the NFL running backs have been sort of offloaded. Like the premier running backs like Brian Westbrook, LaDainian Tomlinson for the San Diego. And so they're looking to the draft to bring in this NFL youth movement.
Okay, with Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, Takeaway Sports contributor, talking about the NFL scouting combine. It ended yesterday, and now we're looking ahead to the draft. Draft order, St. Louis Rams get the first pick.
And Detroit Lions, number two.
Number two. I wonder why.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.